I want to share with you, I guess, a couple of verses out of Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, and it reads, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." A thought that's pressing upon my heart to leave with you is pressing toward the mark. And if you're looking for what the word mark is in this context, you would have to think about a race. Paul, in this particular scripture, they use the race as analogy for a race like in the Olympics. And when you race, you're looking for the finish line. If it's the Grand Prix, you're looking for the checkered flags to cross that line. We have to have a mark to follow, a goal to reach, a purpose to fulfill in this life. Life is not meant for us to just trample through life and just have experience, association, and have never accomplished anything. Many of us don't even know what our purpose for living is. We don't even know why God created us and brought us here, through which family, which background, which DNA is all for the purpose. And God has a call upon your life. He created you for a purpose and a cause that has to be fulfilled in your time in this earthly realm. Now, in this particular verse, these two verses, I see three main things standing out, and I want to wrap those around the subject, pressing toward the mark, because the mark or the goal is to be with Christ, to well please him, to have him in you, working in and through you. Because if you do it on your own, you're going to fail every time. I often tell the church at home, I got just enough righteousness to go to hell. Just enough to get there. Because my righteousness, as Isaiah said, are as filthy rags. I need this thing called grace. Because we're saved by grace. I'm not here because anything that I deserve or anything that I really done other than accept Christ, believe him, and move out of the way so he can have his way. So I look at this in three points. Point number one is acknowledging that I have not made it. A lot of us, because we have a talents and we have achieved things in life, maybe it's a PhD, you got a good job, a good house, a good home, and all this stuff, and you stick your chest out like you overcome, you made it. Salvation is the process. It doesn't happen overnight, not a twinkling of an eye, not an instant of a moment, but it's a process that we must all undergo. And if you ever get to a place in life where you just think like you know it all, you have failed yourself. You have to be open to receive more than what you have, because you have just enough not to have enough. So you got to understand where you are in this process of this thing called salvation. Point number two, I want to focus on Paul's single-mindedness or intentional. He was determined to please Jesus at all costs. He also determined that it's not about him, but all about Jesus. Can you agree with that? Is it about Jesus or is it about you? And then, point number three, pressing toward the mark. I'd rather please Jesus than myself. I'd rather do his will than my own will. And if I do his will, I would find within his will this thing called contentment, fulfillment, in satisfaction. So with that being said, let me see if I can build upon this. Now, I look at verse 8, it's very important. And in verse 8, he said this thing, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Now, within this context, I see the fact that Everything that we have accomplished in life, let me use myself for example, so I don't want to offend anybody. Everything I accomplished this far in the years in my life have been great, but they don't mean a thing. It might give me bragging rights, you know, I did this, I done that, I have this, I have that. It might make me look good for people, but when it comes to Christ, it means nothing. Next, it's all pointing towards Him. Is that okay? So a nice car is really not my car. It's the Lord's car. A nice home is really not my home. It's the Lord's home. And He's entitled to do whatever He wants, whenever He wants, and however He wants with it. I'm going somewhere with this. Even in my knowledge, the degrees that I hold and all those things, they're not important. But at the same time, I have to study to show myself approved unto God. Rightly dividing the word of truth. I have to study to the point where I may know His word, because His word is His written express will. So when you look at the word, I find within the word my goal or the parameters in which I attain my goal. Now, how do I get to the goal, the prize, or the mark of the call, high calling of God in Christ Jesus? I have to fulfill the purpose in my life. And the word of God gives me the parameters or the standards by which I ought to proceed towards those goals. Is that all right? So within those parameters, we have Paul dealing here with the church at Philippi, which is interesting to me because the church of Philippi was one of the churches that supported Paul. It was one of them churches that he didn't have to have headaches all the time. He didn't get negative reports all the time like the church of Corinth. You know, the church of Corinth had it going on. You know, every time you turn around, somebody was doing something. Wow, kind of reminding you of somebody, huh? Think about it, you know. I'm sorry. You all fell from heaven. I didn't, so I had to get here. Is that all right? I had to go through some hard times to get to where I am. I had to give up some things and go through some things to get here. And like Paul said, they are but dung. They don't mean a thing. Because I'm trying to win Christ, and I want to be just like Him. So in order to be just like Him, I'm going to have to give up some stuff. God say, I am God, I change not, and I'm not God. I got a lot of changing to do. I got a lot more growth to do. And in the only way, I promise you, I'm going to make more mistakes. So one of the things He established here in this chapter here is we have, as believers, we have no confidence in the flesh. We believe God and we walk by faith. Is that all right? And take no confidence in the flesh. And everything that you can do on your own, you should have no confidence in it because it's going to get you in trouble. If we can accomplish it, that means it just might not be God. Think about it. If I did it myself, I can take the credit for it. But if I do things I know I couldn't do and find myself doing it, then God gets the glory. The song you get sung said, all my hallelujah belongs to You. All of the glory belongs to You. All the honor belongs to You, not to me. So forget about what I've done. Forget about where I've been. Let me go to where I am going. And I want to focus on that one point there for a moment, if you'll let me. Forgetting those things which are behind. It seems like our past, our trouble seems to get us in trouble. It's good, bad, or indifferent. We think about past hurts. We carry the hurts with us forever in a day. And we do what we call protecting our hearts from further hurts. So we go around with all this erratic behavior, trying our best not to be hurt again and hurting everybody in our sight, you know, because hurting people hurt people. Hurting people judge people. Hurting people mistreat people. Because we don't want to be hurt, so therefore I'm going to protect myself by hurting you. Our past can hold us hostage. We're afraid to launch out into the deep because what happened back in the past. You know, I tried things and failed miserably, but I have to try again. The book of Psalms report, a righteous man falls 7 times and get back up again. No success comes without prior failure. So somewhere along the line, as my brothers always say, get over it and move on. Even my past accomplishments don't really mean anything because they're a stepping stone to where I am going. I'm glad I made it. I'm glad I have it. But so now I can't stay where I am. Because if I'm here next year doing the same thing I'm doing this year, that means I made no progress. And if you are doing the same thing year in and day out, then you might want to ask the Lord, what am I doing wrong? Because somewhere I'm falling off, because I should be growing daily. I should be acquiring knowledge daily. I should understand that knowledge and put it to work daily. Then it becomes wisdom. And with that wisdom, godly wisdom, I can grow to be what it is He'll have me to be. So it lets me know that I can't stay right here where I am. So I can't go back and relive the past. I can't stay here. So therefore, I got to go somewhere. And I'm not going to mark time like an army, just stand still, just, you know, look like I'm going somewhere, but same place. But I had to actually left over right and move forward. Now, if I got to move forward, then I want to move in a course that God has set for me. Now, in that course, He gives this thing called the mark or goal. That goal is, as I said, is to be with Him here on the day of judgment, well done. Is that all right? But before you get your well done, you got some things in the earthly realm that you have to accomplish. He puts you in a place for a particular reason so you can accomplish a particular goal at that local place. He assigns you this thing called a pastor after His own heart and not after your desire. And the pastor, as a shepherd or under shepherd, has to feed the flock with good nourishing food called the Word of God. And if you understand the office of a pastor, the pastor office is not the easiest office in the world. It's very easy to stand up before the people and proclaim the Word of God, but everything behind the podium or the pulpit don't seem to get a whole lot of attention. Dealing with the sheep, and I was sharing with the brothers and sisters last night, when I grew up in the church, they say, hey, gentle as a lamb is so humble, and you see little Bo Peep with the little lamb, they're so cute, and all of that. And I grew up picturing saints in the church just like that, and you all are very precious in His sight. You fell from heaven, you're going your way to heaven, you're so glad, and I thank God for that. You've been saved, set free, and delivered, and on your way to heaven, I thank God for you. But along the way, the sheep are not so gentle. I had the privilege of seeing a shepherd take his sheep to pasture, and I observed the sheep for just 5 minutes is all it took. And I found out very quickly that the sheep are the most honorious creatures I've seen in my life. Always bucking and trying to go astray, doing everything they want to do. And that's why the shepherd has this thing called a rod and a staff. Whom the Lord loves, He chases. I'm going somewhere with this. So while I'm in the place where God wants me to be, I have to have the focus on what it is He wants me to do to get to where He wants me to go. In order for me to do that, I need someone to watch over me, to be accountable to make sure that I do what I'm supposed to do, how I'm supposed to do it. Is that all right? Thank God for pastors. Especially those who tell you things that you need instead of what you want to hear. And a lot of us want to hear those good things and all that. It's okay, you're doing well. God bless me in my ignorance. Bless me when I'm going through things. You know, I got a case of the can't help it, you know. The pastor don't need to know that, but I got some things going on that, you know. I don't want anybody to know, Brother John, so I'm going to just keep a low profile in. I want you to say, well done. And somehow it doesn't work that way. And as Christians and as believers, we shouldn't want it to work that way. Because we should be one track mind in pleasing God, single mind focused, intentionally trying to be what it is He'll have us to be, because it's important to be before we can do. So when I be first, it enables me to do what it is He wants me to do, how He wants me to do it, and when. that okay? So in order to be, I got to have this thing inside of me called the Spirit of God moving. And with that Spirit of God moving, I got to add to that thing called the Word of God. And with the Word of God, I got to apply this thing called holy zeal. Along with holy zeal, I got to have this spiritual determination. For God I live, for God I die. I simply cannot give up. And once you have your mind made up on that level and believe God for all, then now you're in a position to begin to do. Is that all right? Because when you have a heart for Christ, then your mind and everything lines up to please Christ. Is that all right? And then if you live in the world that I live in, whew, Lord, help us, Jesus. Everything is going on in the society that we call the world and earth today. Would you agree with that? Maybe not. But everything is going on to defeat the Word of God. Everything is set up for you to fail in this world system. It wasn't created for you to be successful in what God created, calling, purpose for you to do. So therefore, we have this thing called opposition. And we have this person we call the enemy that comes in like a flood to discourage you, to make you feel like you're all alone and no one understands what it is that you're going through. And while you're sitting there all alone, you begin to have these feelings that, oh man, I'm tired. What's the use? It's time to give up and do my own thing. But one thing I assure you, I refuse to go to Hades sitting in a pew. I refuse to let the suffering of Christ to be in vain on my behalf. Because he has done way too much for me that I might be free and successful for me to sit here and fail. He bled and suffered too much for me to sit here and just give up and say, what the use? Or my favorite one, why me? And the answer comes back, why not you? If any man will come after Jesus, he has to first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Christ. And if the Lord suffered, you are not greater than the Lord, then you might get ready and prepare to suffer. Because the suffering that you go through, the cross that you bear, only precedes the crown that you wear. So it makes you think about the suffering and understand that it's worth the beatdown. It's worth being up in the middle of the night, can't sleep. It's worth being lied on and rejected and thrown out of place and losing your job and everything. It's worth it all. Because I am determined to meet my mark. That mark is the example or the goal that we reach for. Now, we go to work and we work. I don't know what your pay period is like and all that. You know, and mine is once a month. So I look a whole month waiting for that paycheck. I do everything they want me to do in my job description. So on that day of the month, when that come time, I want my mark and let it be in my bank account. And if it's not in my bank account, then we have a problem, HR department, because the numbers are not numbering and the things are not adding up. I went through the suffering. I went through the trials and the tribulation. And wait a minute, I need something. And don't retro it to me and wait till the next pay period. I need mine now. What if God calls your account now? What have you done to please him? I'm going somewhere with this. And so as I go through things, I have to press forward. And the word press means there's some resistance that you got to apply some counter resistance to the resistance. It got to be more force than what it is that you are receiving. So if the first sign of trouble arises and you run and cower and back down, then you're not fit to be a soldier in the army of the Lord. Oh, did I say that out loud? I'm sorry. But you got to press for it. Salvation is a process, and it doesn't feel good and it doesn't look good, because all of the trials, tribulations, and suffering that you go through make it who and what it is that God would have you to be. Oh, that's what it's for? I'm going somewhere with this. And I'm almost finished, believe it or not. So in the mix or in the context of your suffering, it does this thing called a refining process or purging or purifying process. So as you begin to go through and things begin to happen and you lose control sometimes and things slide out of your mouth that you didn't know that was there, God allows that to come out so you can see what's in you that's hindering you from Him. And once you do that and realize that, then there's this process that's called repentance. And this other thing, you know, a lot of people mean repentance means I'm sorry. And that's it. But repentance means not only feel godly sorrowful, but you got to do the thing called change. And once you turn from your sinful ways and turn it over to the Lord, He removes it and forgives you and put in this here for what we call forgetfulness. He will never bring it up again, not even judgment. So now that's one last thing that's hindering me from my God. And at the same time that He's pulling things out of me and suffering because I'm focusing on the pain or the lack, I don't notice what He's imparting in me at the same time. Because in that process, He's imparting things in us that's going to sustain us into where we are going. Which is why it's important to be before we can do. I can't do something I'm not qualified to do. If I can't manage money, then why give me $1 million? It's going to be gone in a couple of days. If I can't drive a car, don't put me behind a Mercedes or a Bugatti and want me to drive it without tearing it up. Because I'm not qualified to do it. Which brings me to this analogy of a race. Now, in a race, you know, I think about a marathon, 26 miles. Lord help anybody can do 26 miles. I'm not even trying to do 26 miles. I'll give you about 3 or 4. Then after the 4th mile, I'm going to jump on your back and let you carry me the other 22. Is that all right? Because 26 is not my goal. I'm going to give you my best. And I'm not trying to make my best 26 because God didn't call me to do a marathon. Thank God for Jesus. But within a race, in order to run that race, you got to determine a couple of things here first. First and foremost, you got to determine, hey, I'm going to win this race no matter what it costs me. Now that I determined that I'm going to win this race no matter what it costs me, now I got to begin to be filled out and find out what is it going to take for me to win. And then I need to prepare to win. So as I look at what it's going to take, and I know me, because I'm not as in shape as I should be, I'm going to have to do this thing called exercise. Oh Lord, I'm going to start my workout on Monday. That every evading Monday, let's not do Monday, that's the second Tuesday of next week. So when I don't make it there, I don't have to come up with an excuse why I failed to do what I said I'm going to do. But let me work within my limits. Even if I got to start small and take one step at a time, I need to build my endurance. I got to take my trials and tribulations one at a time. Let me get through this day, because sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. So let me master where I am now. And when tomorrow gets here, then I'll tackle tomorrow at that point. So as I move on to tomorrow, and tomorrow actually gets here, now I'm back at square one almost, because I got to figure out how I'm going to make it through this day. So if you understand when I'm walking you through this thing called the process of building endurance, oftentimes when the enemy comes in like a flood, trust me, hit you everywhere but loose. Every time you turn around, bad news. And what we do with that, we try to process it all together. I'm going to fix all the problems at one time in one sitting. Ooh, mercy. Have you ever tried that before and got your mind just all blown up and just, look, it's too much for me. Lord, I need help. Let somebody else bear this cross because it's too heavy for me, so I'm going to not do anything but make excuses. Well, I would do this, but so-and-so said that. I had a bad upbringing, dysfunctionality in my home and all that, and my parents didn't love me, and my dog ate the cat ate the rat ate the roach, and I can't do it. And then we began to feel satisfied with excuses. So then when the shepherd asked you to do X, Y, and Z, well, Pastor, I can't do that. Why can't I? I don't want to do that. That's not for me. I don't hear my spirit telling me that. Oh, boy, let me get out of here because it's getting hot now. I hate to tell you this. Your spirit's going to get you in trouble. You should listen to the spirit of the Lord. Lord, speak to my heart. And if you want to make sure it's the Lord speaking and not you speaking, just check those 66 books that we call the Holy Bible. And if it lined up with those 66 books, then just maybe it might be God. Is that all right? So as I build upon that to prepare to make it through the day, I got to bring this thing called patience. Now, with patience comes the capacity to look beyond where you are and see where you are going. The capacity to look beyond the problem and see the solution. The solution is often tied to where you are going. It's often tied to your purpose. And if you look at it carefully, you'll begin to see as you strive for the solution and not work and worry about the problem will work itself out. And then on the other side, you can go through and look and do what we call a root cause analysis to figure out what went wrong and how it went wrong to make sure it don't go wrong again. Is that okay? We're talking about endurance, pressing. So once you have that concept down and begin to press that concept, so when things press at you, you can push back. You can say, for God I live, for God I die. I refuse to give up. I refuse to fail because I have this thing that's attached to me called victory that Jesus secured for me way back on Calvary. So no matter what comes my way, God is not going to allow me to be tempted above what I can handle at any time. He's always going to give me this avenue of escape so I can just slide on by. And look at Satan and say, how you like me now? You try, but you fail. So I'm going to keep pressing on. Now I look at that race. I'm in the gym. I'm studying. I'm figuring out weights, which one I'm going to build, which tricep up, which bicep and whatever up. You know, I'm going to get that stuff together. I'm actually do it, lift the weights and run and all that. Run a half a mile. Then the next day, 3/4 of a mile. The next week, 1 mile. And keep building from that standpoint. So what I've done, I established this thing called a process or the building to enable me to press. Because every little triumph takes some sacrifice. It takes me coming outside of myself, pushing myself from where I am to where I'm trying to go. And it doesn't feel good. If you ever never worked out or you haven't done it so in a while, you go back to start working out, you'll find that you are hurting in places you didn't know existed. I remember when I first got on my recumbent bike, at a minute and a half, I was sweating like a pig and all that. I said, oh man, I got to get this up, you know. Let me try tomorrow and all that. Maybe I'll do 2 minutes tomorrow and then. But I kept at it, and I kept at it, and kept at it, and now 35, 45 minutes don't mean anything. Well, sometimes they do. It depends on what mood I'm in. But the point is, I press. And with the press comes strengthening. With the strength comes the agility to look beyond where you are And at the same time, the desire to do more tends to settle in. And once you begin to get to that point, you just refuse to go without doing what you should be doing because you're trying to make that progress to get that goal. And then comes the hard part. You got to execute your plan. Nike says, just do it. I got to get up and do what it is that I'm trying to do, what I purpose in my heart to do. So in other words, if I'm pressing for that mark, then I need to get up and begin to press. Is that all right? Then, finally, I must create and execute a plan that's going to sustain me and help me to get there. And oftentimes with my planning, I always seek wise counsel because personally, I understand I don't have it all. I don't know it all. So I try to find someone who's doing, who has already done what it is that I'm doing so they can counsel me to get there. Is that all right? I like to watch people as they do things very carefully and see how it works for them. That's one of the privileges of being the youngest child in the family. You can watch your brothers and sisters before you make all the mistakes so you don't have to make the same mistakes. It's the same thing in the house of God. You got people around you that's laboring among you. Is that all right? Can I watch you for a little while? I guess not. But you got to execute your plan and evaluate it if it's being successful. Now, don't wait till you get to the other end and find out that it failed you. So every now and then, you might want to stop and check yourself out. And God has a remedy for that. It's called leadership that checks you and encourages you and pushes you beyond your abilities. Sometimes the leader had to assign you a task that's just out of your reach so you can fast and pray and push to accomplish the goal. Because if we don't stretch you every now and then, you're never going to grow. In order to get things I never done before, I got to do things I never done before. And if I never done those things before, I'm going to be nervous doing those things. And just do it afraid. Just do it. And also, I'm about to cuss here. Y'all bear with me. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. Oh my God, I said that word, mistakes. Understand where you are. You're human, you're going to make mistakes, but make those as few as possible. But don't be afraid to make mistakes. We grow and learn by making mistakes. So when you do make a mistake, learn from it. Grow from it. And don't do again. Is that all right? So now I got my mind conditioned that I haven't made it already. It's conditioned to be one-mindedness or intentional. I'm going to please God at all costs. And I'm going to press for the mark. That mark is where I'm trying to go. Along that journey, he gives us a mark that we can watch in the natural. And I'm going to shift gears here, if you don't mind, as I try to bring this to a close. I'm in Lexington, Kentucky today, and I'm so glad to be here. And my good friend and brother, Bishop Lyons, I told him I was coming. He says, well, hey, you're preaching. I was like, hey, I can just sit in the back with the ushers. I said, no. And I said, okay. I love Bishop Lyons as a brother. We've been knowing each other for a few years, and I have nothing but admiration and respect for him. And so if you all could bear with me for a little while, I want to change gears just a little bit as I bring this to a close. Bishop Lyons is a representation of the great shepherd. He's the under shepherd for this flock. We all agree? Anybody love the under shepherd here? Wow. Y'all don't sound convincing. He's a mighty man of God. I love his determination. I love his dedication. And I believe in his ministry. This brother knows the word of God like the back of his hands. And man, he preached like he lost his mind. And every time I'm in his presence, I get this thing called joy, but also I get motivation. I always learn something from him every time I speak with him. He is your earthly example. He is your lead or your coach to help you to get to where you're trying to go. Anybody agree with that? So what I want to do here, I want to call him out for 1 second. I'm already on his back, but I want to call him out for 1 second. Could you stand, brother? He asked, well, we're in one of our conversations, I forget how long ago because a lot's going on and I can barely remember my name sometimes. But he shared with me a goal that he has. And I say, you know what, brother, I stand with you. I agree with you. And whatever it is you need for me to do, I am here to do that. So what I'll ask to do is come forward for a second, sir. If you don't mind, I'm going to put you on the spot for just a couple more seconds. This mighty man of God has a vision for this church. The church is not the building. It's not the organization. It's you. We are the body of Christ. And this is the shepherd or pastor he has appointed over this house. He's the earthly example giver for those members here at this church. Yes, no, maybe? And I know he's a mover and a shaker. He's determined not to fail. And he's determined to do whatever he needs to do to answer and fulfill the call upon his life. And I admire him and respect him for that. So with that being said, before I left Detroit, I talked to my committee and all that, and I said, look, our brother has a goal he's trying to reach. I want to be a blessing to him when I get there, because the Lord taught me years ago to never appear before him empty. I shall bring the Lord some type of gift, my praise, my worship, prayer, reading, dedication, serving on the usher board, whatever. I need to be doing something in the house of the Lord. Is that okay? But also, God wants us to honor him with our substance. Is that all right? So as my brother in Christ, the leader of this local body, I want to present him with a little substance. In this envelope, you will find $1,250. $1,000 of it is from Holy City. $250 of it is from me. But we are with you and we stand with you in all that God has called you to do. You can call on Holy City at any time. And I would get on I-75 South heading this way. I'll even try to keep the speed limits. I can't promise you that. But I would get here and support you any way that we can. God bless you, my brother.